Become a brand ambassador today for Sarah Bauer Boutique. Go to www.sarahbauerboutique.com to sign up to become a brand ambassador today. Hello and welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely. On this guide to self-love and discovery and relationships, that's what we're talking about today. I hope you're all having an amazing week. I woke up with feeling like I'm getting sick, so I'm pretty upset about it, but I'm trying to be positive and going, okay, like I just had a nasty bug. Hopefully it's not the same one because I don't think I'll survive it. I'm so over this ridiculous weather that one day it tries to kill us and the next day it pretends it never happened. You know, it's a very toxic relationship that my weather is having with where we live, and I'm 100% over it. I'm over the germs. I'm over the no sun. It's been gray and gloomy here for what feels like my entire life. I can't believe it's still January. That's appalling. I feel like we should be like celebrating the new year by the end of this month because it feels like it's actually taken that long. Okay. This week has been pretty great for me. It's been a wonderful week. Somebody who I haven't seen in a couple of years, we've reconnected the last couple of days. I've seen her like twice, and it's been just like wonderful visits, which always puts you in such a great mood. And her and I always had like an up and down relationship. So now it's like we got to know each other all over again as adults. And it was pretty amazing. Like it was just a side of her I'd never seen. And same with her versus me. You know, at the end of our visit, we were both like, wow, it's like getting to know a brand new person. And it was just refreshing. It's refreshing to see because she's putting in the work on herself. And I feel like I am too. I feel like it's so refreshing to see people that are growing. And I had to get to know her all over again. You know, we talk about stuff all the time about people you come across in life that you knew 10 years ago and you go, oh, wow, I didn't miss anything. You're still the exact same person with the same personality and ridiculous beliefs in life and thoughts in life, and not always ridiculous, but not growing as a person and realizing that we're supposed to. We're not supposed to be the same people. So it was incredible. And it was just so like I've been talking about it for days with my husband. I was just so impressed and just amazing. And her and I had struggled a few years back in our relationship. I had did something that upset her, which 100% was on me. And I had handled the situation wrong. I had no idea she was still upset about it. I never apologized, but it was like one of those things we just moved forward on. And this was like in 2017. And when I'd said something to her like, hey, why don't we talk as much? Like, I don't understand. And she's like, well, still upset about that situation. And I never felt like I got an apology. It was like one of those situations that it wasn't so much the problem that happened. It was the way that it was handled. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you've been holding on to that for so long. I am so sorry. And just a genuine apologies because I felt horrible. She had been avoiding me and holding on to this for so long. And it killed me because I wasn't a polite person to her with a situation that happened, and I took my anger out on the wrong person. Not so much that I should be angry with anybody, but it was a situation that I was upset about, but it was handled incorrectly. I allowed my anger to get the best of me, and I 100% owed her an apology, and I should have done it a lot sooner. So our relationship could not have went through that. So anyways, oh, if you hear my tummy growling. So I got these new microphones, and they were supposed to cancel out sound, but because they're so close to me, they pick up my tummy noises. It is first thing in the morning and I'm chugging coffee and my belly's like, that's not food. Anyways, so that was just like a really big highlight of my week, and meeting her significant other and just being present in that moment. It was just incredible. So that was my highlight of my week, and it was just wonderful. But it was just being vulnerable with somebody and really seeing like, hey, how can we make our relationship the best it can be? And even if we don't see each other often because she doesn't live around here and she works to where she's like gone for months at a time. Anyways, so like how can we just be like the most vulnerable we can be in the visits that we have? That way we're not putting on a show in such a short time that we have together. So it was just wonderful, and it really just made my week, and it was just great. So anyways, today though, I want to talk about relationships with being vulnerable and practicing like that little tiptoe dance between, you know, mental health and relationships, exploring all these strategies that create such an amazing love for yourself and your loved ones with you. And your relationships can really benefit from all of this. So I really do. I want to make sure that we perceive vulnerability as such a strength, because that's what I'm often wondering so much is, so many people will tell you, you know, if you're really into mental health and growth and things like that, you have to be vulnerable and sensitive to yourself. You have to really be open about it. And I always question why vulnerability is so like taboo in today's society, because it's often viewed as a weakness and not a strength, when it's completely the opposite. And no wonder that so many people find it challenging to open up, because vulnerability involves exposing our true selves, acknowledging imperfections, and sharing our real, true, authentic emotions, not these cover-ups of what we think people want to hear. It's being strong enough to say, this is what I need and want out of this relationship for it to work. And societal expectations and the, you know, norms sometimes can give you the idea that being vulnerable makes us subjectable to judgment or exploitation if the relationship doesn't work out. And I really feel the exact opposite of that, because if you do come across people who take advantage of that vulnerability, again, that says more about them than you, but you are knowing that you can move on from that relationship, that you gave it your all, that you were your all, that you were your true authentic self. And that is really, it's really empowering to know that you did that. When I end relationships or friendships now, I can move on without a hitch pretty much, because I know like I did my true self. I was always myself. I was always honest. I was always open. I was always vulnerable. And if you got a different side of me, then you brought that on, because you caused me to close down. You know, throughout history, it has always been misconstrued as being fragile. Oh, you're so sensitive. She's so sensitive. She can't handle. No. I'm real. I'm honest. If you hurt my feelings, you're going to know about it. I don't need to not tell people that my feelings are hurt. I need to tell them that, so that shit doesn't happen again, because I'm not going to hold it in and fester and wonder how I can get back at them and think everybody's out to get me, think that everybody's judging me. No, because I'm being real and I'm being honest. And if that gets me judged, then I move on from those people, because I know they're not my people. I know that relationship is not for me. So, but I feel like in the recent years, like a kind of a shift is occurring with these new generations. I do feel that. And that's what I want to talk about today. So anyways, that was a long introduction. I just get on these rambles of this excitement. I want to talk about being vulnerable in your relationships with your spouse and how to make them thrive with your vulnerability, because being tough in a relationship with your partner is saying like, hey, I'm tough because you're my opponent. No, we're on the same team. We have to share strategies. We have to share how we can win. Welcome to Loving Yourself Completely. Calling all my friends from all corners of the internet, I'm here to tell you about Sarah Bauer Boutique. In the virtual aisles of shopping Sarah Bauer Boutique, you are not just browsing through clothes, you're exploring a world of self-expression and self-love. You click, you browse, you discover the pieces that resonate with your unique vibe and individuality. My online boutique is more than just a website. It's a celebration of self-love. It's about feeling confident, radiant, and utterly comfortable in your own skin. Every outfit you find there is a reminder that you are worthy and beautiful, and you deserve to wrap yourself in it every single day. So grab your device, visit Sarah Bauer, Bauer, boutique.com, and indulge in a joy of self-love through fashion. Let's redefine online shopping together, making it a delightful, powerful experience, because you deserve nothing but the best. Remember to give them a reason to stare from Sarah Bauer Boutique. So I think it's such a great shift that's happening though with the new generation. I really do. I think that people expressing how openly they go to therapy, and it's like a conversation starter. They're like, hey, yes, I'm in therapy. I'm working on myself. And people are like, hell yeah. Like, that growth journey is wild, isn't it? Like, and you can discuss how open and vulnerable you have to be when you go through therapy. And it is refreshing to not have basic what's the weather outside conversation. It is amazing to be like, yeah, I did this work on this trauma I had. And oh my gosh, I didn't realize that A tied to B tied to C. And that's why I acted like D. So it's like, it's incredible. And it's incredible to discuss those with people in your life, because they can also get to know that side of you as well, especially your partner. My husband understands why I have this action or this response to certain things. And he goes, well, I understand that. But here's how we can maneuver that in a different way. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Not so much now. I feel like all of my responses now have nothing to do with me in the last like year or two. I feel like I've really moved forward from going, this is why I do this, and then moving on to, this is the life I'm creating for my family to watch, you know? So it's huge. And I really do. I love challenging the stigma around vulnerability and all of those things, and exploring why it's absolutely essential to be authentic in your connections and to nurture your mental health in the relationship. We always talk about, you know, nurturing it within yourself and getting rid of relationships that don't work for you. But what about your mental health in a relationship? And being vulnerable is the biggest step of it. It's huge, because it is the most true form of you. It's the most honest connection these people are going to get. So in our episode today, I really want to challenge society's norms that perceive that vulnerability as a weakness and embrace it, acknowledging and expressing our true feelings and fears and desires and fantasies. Because when we open up to each other, whether it's mentally, physically, or emotionally, we create a safe space for those connections to really thrive together. I feel like if you are honest and it creates a safe space for your partner to be honest, it's magic. And you just watch that magic unfold year after year after year. And actually, when I was writing this episode and doing some research on things, research shows that vulnerability is the biggest boost of intimacy, promoting empathy, understanding, and trust in relationships. So I found that really interesting, that those are all the things people look for, but yet we all have this huge wall up of trust and loyalty, and it's like we never give them the chance. For me, I'm all in until you show me why I should start, you know, pulling out. And I think that that's really important is to, yes, you can protect yourself in a way, but you don't have to guard yourself. You don't have to have, you know, a guard up, but you can be protective of your stories, but be authentic in them. So how can we embrace this vulnerability and all of these things with our partners to foster this amazing connection that you want to have for the rest of your life, and to make sure that in your relationship, you're both on the same team and you're not guarding each other? So I really do. My biggest one is always, of course, communication. I feel like it's the life of your relationship. And that comes in so many various styles, being assertive to passive aggressive. Understanding these styles can really navigate conversations more effectively, and effective communication, of course, as we know, is the foundation of a healthy relationship, and it reduces misunderstandings and enhances your emotional connections. And I really think that when you communicate with your partner in a vulnerable conversation and topic, your partner, all of a sudden, all these feelings are realizing that they're trusting me, so I can trust them. And even if you're with somebody who maybe trust sabotaged, it might take a moment, but continue opening up to them, continue being your most vulnerable self, and soon they will open up. Or if you're with a partner who isn't as in tuned with their emotional feelings, keep going, keep pushing for that, and keep, not in an annoying way, like keep pushing them, just keep pushing yourself to be open with them, and for you to really understand that not everybody is open right off the bat, but if they're receptive of your openness, then they're getting it. Then they're taking the notes. Then they're understanding, like, hey, this person is really being honest with me, and maybe you're kind of giving them ideas of how they could be honest with you as well. And I think that that's just a huge thing. So, of course, I always say in relationships to make sure you keep your self-care. Always keep your self-care. That is going to help you be vulnerable because you know yourself, okay? We know ourselves. We're turning all of these self-care things from selfish into self-love, and that really nurtures your mental health. Explore how your self-love practices contribute to your well-being and how it's vital in your relationship to keep those things. It's okay to continue to just take care of yourself in a partnership. That's okay. People think, oh, like I have to take care of my partner at all times, but we talk about it all the time. You have to nurture yourself to know yourself. And when you practice self-care in a relationship, it allows you to be mentally in tune with yourself, which in turn, guess what? You get to be mentally in tune with your partner and communicate with them what you need because you give it to yourself. Be vulnerable to yourself as well, okay? I think that when you're vulnerable in a relationship, navigating any kind of conflicts that come up, because I mean, let's face it, conflict is inevitable in any part of a relationship. I think active listening and practicing these techniques and problem solving strategies really helps you form a stronger connection, because when you are vulnerable with your partner and you express to them maybe your triggers or what you will and won't put up with, of course, that's tied in with your boundaries. Being open with your boundaries, expressing it all right away, it allows for those conflicts to be talked through instead of yelled through because somebody feels unheard. When you're in a conflict and you can say things like, I am just feeling really attacked right now. I'm feeling like you're not hearing me, or I'm feeling like you're not maybe understanding my point of view and I really want you to. Because I think as soon as conflict starts in most relationships, instantly people go me versus you. And that's so the opposite. You want to come out the other side of this together. You don't want to say, oh yeah, he won that argument, she won that argument. Nobody should be winning any argument when you're a couple. You become one in that conflict of how do we get through it together. And when you're vulnerable and when you open up and when you speak to your partner in a way of, I'm feeling like you're not understanding my side, I would love to walk you through this right now, but I'm struggling getting my emotions out, so I need a minute. I need a minute. And sometimes that minute can turn into a day. Sometimes you go, okay, we're going to pause this argument until I can, you know, constructively put these thoughts together without taking these thoughts out on you, because I really want you to see where I'm coming from and not just win the argument. If your partner doesn't see where you're coming from, the argument's going to occur in the future. Never have the same argument twice. Why are we having the same arguments twice? That means you didn't win together. That means one of you thought the other one won, and the other one is still holding that resentment. So you have to win together. No matter what argument it is, no matter what conflict you're having, no matter what compromise has to be made, it has to feel like both partners win together. And I understand that compromising, one of you was maybe going to feel like, oh, I caved, I gave in a little bit. But that's part of the relationship of wanting your partner to win as well. You're not always going to be a 50-50 win. But if it's a, you know, 20-80 win, like that's okay too. That has to happen sometimes in relationships of going, this person who I love more than anything in this whole world needed that for me. And I'm actually happy to give that to them. And that 20% all of a sudden starts rising up because you feel you won for your partner. Be open and vulnerable enough to know that partnership takes a lot of empathy. It takes a lot of feeling how they feel, seeing how they see, and understanding why they are the way they are to be successful, to tie in their emotions and their actions to their growth, and to know that anything that's happened to them in life, good or bad, has a little tiny piece of their personality. attached to it. And that's why they are the way they are. But as they grow, as you grow, those tiny pieces of their personality that have been formed from previous things start kind of mutating in a more positive way. And all of a sudden, you can't see them anymore. And you see that growth that has created in your relationship. I don't recognize my husband from day one of him. I still have that security that I've always felt from day one. He's always been, you know, my strength person. He's always been the strongest person I know. And whether he feels like it some days, he always shows me that. And I'm so thankful for that. But his strength has changed over the years. His strength has went from what he feels I need from him to wanting to be that for himself. He is the epitome of just the most selfless person I've ever met. But yet he takes no shit. You know what I mean? He is so kind and giving and loving, but he will fuck your life up if you mess with him, you know? Like, you can be so vulnerable, have your partner so loving, so caring, so giving, and also know that outside of your relationship, you are protective of that. Be protective of your relationship. I wouldn't put up with anybody trying to mess with my relationship, but I also don't think when you have a relationship that's strong in foundation, that's strong in the actual structure, and it can't be shaken, people just don't attempt to shake it, you know? And not even talking about like people trying to, you know, steal your person. I'm talking about just in general people. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about business worker, coworkers. You know, they don't, your buddies, your whatever, they don't try to maneuver your relationship, because guess what? Like, these people obviously know each other in and out. I'm not going to think that I can have them perceived in a certain way. It's just not going to work. The story falls through, you know? Vulnerability can set up the strength in your relationship that it needs to last the test of time. I really feel that. But anyways, so with vulnerability, of course, comes boundaries. And moving forward, I want to talk about the importance of setting and respecting those boundaries in a relationship. These invisible lines that define the limits of acceptable behavior in a relationship. And that's what we talk about all the time, is how clear boundaries contribute to a healthy relationship dynamic, providing its own sense of security and connection, a respectful connection. That's what I want to say. I want to say a respectful connection is formed when you state your boundaries. And I think that that's really important. And boundaries become a lifestyle. And you don't have to say boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. It's just who they are for you. It's who you are for them. And it has mutated those little feelings, that personality of yours, into creating a safe space for your partner. Boundaries create safe spaces. And when they know what you will and won't tolerate, it becomes that life. That becomes the life. I don't think I've ever said in our entire relationship, in my entire marriage or whatnot, boundaries, boundaries. I've never said that. I've shown him, hey, like in other people that I've dealt with and other relationships and other friendships, he has seen and witnessed, and I've been open with him about people enough for him to be like, oh yeah, I would never personally do that. I now see that that's, you know, that I wouldn't put up with that. And even my husband, like I know what he would and wouldn't put up with from other people. I'll see somebody or hear somebody say or do something to him, and I'm like, oh yeah, so they're out. Like, you know your partner so well. And that's where that vulnerability ties in. I think I've probably said vulnerability 1,000 times, but the topic of this entire thing is creating such an open space with your partner that all of these things, boundaries, navigating conflicts, self-care in your relationships, communicating styles, it all ties together in a pretty little bow of having the best relationships you can have. And I think that's so important. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. I think that's why I think it's so great that the new, I keep saying like new generation or whatever, is creating a safe space for opening up and being vulnerable with your, with yourself, with your friends, with your partner, and being mindfulness in love. We always talk about mindfulness in the sense of, you know, meditation and getting to know yourself, making sure that you're checking in. Look at our last episode, you know, the self-care check-in, mindfulness. But mindfulness isn't just about meditation. It's a way to be present in the moment, and it fosters an awareness and an intentionality and how you can stay in a certain safe place with your partner. Being mindful is when they're speaking to you, you know, your phone's down and your eyes are on them. Being mindful is when you're having a conversation that you heard what they said and you took in what they said and you weren't just listening. You know, it's that you are constructively navigating how I'm going to take what they're saying to me, and I'm going to not only have a response, but I'm going to have an action that follows. Even just everyday conversation about how their day at work was, listen to that, be in tune with that, and then the next day, follow up on that. I think people get comfortable in relationships, and that's great, that's wonderful. I'm the first to say, you know, the stigma around comfort in relationships is bullshit, because I'm way too comfortable and I'm not mad about it. And I don't think he is either. Well, I know he isn't, because I know my partner. He's not mad about being comfortable either. So when you have been together for so long, I think people take for granted those small conversations of how their day at work was, because you've heard it 1,000 billion times. So when they tell you something, you just go, oh, okay, and you move forward and whatnot. But when you take in bits and pieces of their life, of their stories, and the next day you go, oh, how did this turn out? Did this happen this way? Did they do that again? Oh, well, good. I'm glad that you're having a better day than, you know, last week when A, B, and C happened, or whatever. My husband, most of you know, he drives trucks. So every day I'll ask him, oh, how many deliveries did you get today? Was it like yesterday where they put 20 deliveries on you, you know, or did they give you those early closing places that you got to rush to, you know, like small things like that, and acknowledging that I heard what he said. And vice versa with him. He'll ask me, you know, did you get your packages shipped out today? Did that one person, you know, did they like that outfit they got? I've recently started accepting brand ambassadors into my boutique. And that's people who can just sign up on my website, which, I mean, hey, go sign up on my website if you want to be a brand ambassador. That was a quick little, you know. Anyway, so he was asking about the other day, because this is very new to me. I've, you know, this is new to my business. This is new to me. And I had gotten several signups, and I go through their social media and I kind of make sure that they're not like crazies and going to put my name out there in a weird way. But he was kind of asking me about it. And I was like, yeah, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, did that person post that? I'm like, they did. And so it was exciting to me, because I think as individuals, we all have a million thoughts that run through our mind at all times. And maybe we don't say them all to our partner, but when they acknowledge the one thought that ties into the other, then guess what? A whole new door opens of how to express things to your partner. Being vulnerable is not just in the relationship. It's in your work life. It's in your social life. It's in your family life. Your partner is tied into all of those. It's like one of those boards that, you know, the FBI has up to like solve a case. The yarn goes everywhere, but guess what? Every single piece in common is your partner. Why wouldn't you want them to know you through and through? You know, I said, you know, a lot too. Look, maybe this sickness is getting to my brain. Okay, so be mindful while you're in love and be in the moment. Be so present that those small details of their everyday stories that seem so minute make sense to ask and follow up on those things. Those are the small moments in relationships that continue to pull you closer together. So as we move forward, I want to talk about life and the changes that come along with them and how you handle that in a partnership, because how we adapt to life changes is huge. It's a huge impact on our mental health and relationships. And whether it's a career shift or a relocation, a death, a, a success, a major life event. Understanding how to manage change can strengthen your resilience, individuality, and all-around connection as a couple. So I think that when changes happen in relationships, it can go one of two ways. People can panic and be flustered and be frustrated. And a lot of those feelings occur when you don't feel like your partner is your safe space. So when your partner's not in your growing zone, you feel that you have to take on these emotions all on your own. Then that should never be the case. When you're open with your relationship and your partner, those changes, those scary moments, those big life excitements and events can be shared positively or negatively. And that person is there to build you up and navigate your feelings because they know them so well. It's a huge perk for your partner knowing you. It's a huge perk for your partner going, I know exactly what to say to this person because I know where they're feeling anxious at, where they're feeling that excitement at. And I think it's a huge check-in for you as a partner to check in with your partner if they're going through a life change or anything in life that is different from the norm, and you going, hey, I'm checking in on you, just like you check in on their day. Make sure that those life changes, that you're a part of them in a positive way, no matter what they are, no matter what they're going through, for them to know that they can come to you, it shows your success in knowing that they can be vulnerable with you as well. That was, so I feel like a huge vulnerability red flag or huge stop sign for a lot of people that have written into the show have really expressed the struggle of opening up to people because of social media. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about social media before. The digital age, social media. But it does. It plays a huge role in our lives. And let's be honest, our relationships. Comparison traps are a huge digital error. Maintaining a healthy balance in the digital realm is difficult because people tend to overshare their negative aspects of the relationship. People tend to leave a door open on social media for people to message them. People tend to post, you know, videos or little cryptic messages aimed towards their partner that they are not vulnerable enough to discuss in person. And that creates a divide. On social media, if your partnership isn't well, then we don't post about it. Because if that's something you're continuing to want to work on and continuing to want that person to have respect for you and trust you and to be able to be vulnerable with you, you can't put your problems on the front page of the paper. How is that person supposed to trust you if the moment it gets rocky, you post these cryptic videos or messages or change your status to single every other day? How does that work? When you have a strong, healthy front, not front because I hope it's honest, with your relationship, it can't be shaken. You would never find me going, oh, you know, he didn't take out the garbage today and that really pissed me off. And, you know, he forgot to call me at lunchtime and he always called me. I don't even know what to bitch about. I'm sorry. Like when your communication styles match up, you know, you really don't have many issues in your relationship, if any. I'm trying to think of our last argument. I know you probably all want to punch me in the face. My relationship has thrived from being open and vulnerable. And that's what I'm here to tell you. When you understand your partner and your biggest argument is, you spilled water on the counter and you didn't wipe it up and it's over in 2 seconds, then it moves forward and you can have that. You can have that loving relationship and you can brag about it and you can say, we put in the work to being vulnerable and I listened. I listened when he told me this. I listened when she told me that. I followed through with my actions. Listening and actions don't go together. You have to put in the work on both of them. It's not a two for one. You have to listen, be attentive, be mindful, be present, and you have to put the actions into expressing and asking and making sure that they see all the things. It's two separate steps, but they go hand in hand. You cannot say these things and not do them. You cannot do these things and not say them. I feel like everybody needs a roundabout idea of how their partner feels in the good and the bad. And when you hit the bad, if it explodes all over social media, the good is going to be very hard to come by again. It's going to be very hard to come by again, especially when you understand who your partner is and their love languages. We've spoken about that before, and I know a couple of you wanted to talk about it again, and we will. But love languages, in the short aspect, is how your partner perceives love and gives love. And being open about that, like mine is acts of service. That's my biggest one. You changed the garbage for me. You unloaded the dishwasher for me. You thought about me on your way home and grabbed me my favorite candy or my favorite snacks. You've seen that I was struggling with something and you went ahead and took care of it. Those are mine. I don't need the things. I don't need, too much of your time and attention. Like, obviously I want to be with you, but I take what I have and I'm so thankful for it. But while you're with me, I appreciate you asking if I need anything. Do you need anything from me? Because how can I be helpful to you? Because when you're an adult, you tend to take care of yourself, your family, your kids, your everything. So when somebody does something for me that takes one thing off my plate, you have me for your whole life. I just, my husband's really good about that stuff. He really is a huge help. I don't even want to say help around the house. He's just here. He's very present in our everyday lives and what I need. And I hope I'm that for him too. I know I am. I know I am, because we have a vibe. Anyways, but these love languages serve as a huge guide to understanding how individuals can express themselves with you and how vulnerable they can be. Exploring all of that, whether it's acts of service or affirmation, physical touch, providing insight to your partner and making that a fulfilling goal for them and for you to be fulfilled in how you give and receive love, and understanding that, people think like, oh, they'll know. No, your partner does not know how you feel loved. They have no idea. I need you to spell it out for them. I need you to break it down Sesame Street style. Say, this is what I need for me to understand that you're loving me. It's not always saying it. You have to see these actions put behind it, the respect that goes with it, and them wanting to do those things for you because of the love they have for you, and building and unlocking that deeper emotional connection. It's like a secret code, and people think it's so hard to guess. I'll tell you the code. Come here, just sit down, be present, listen, and I will tell you exactly what I need from you for this relationship to be the most successful. That's huge. And that builds a resilience together, an emotional resilience, a life resilience. You gain strength and grace together. Together. You both have huge positive mindsets, an amazing foundation, and you're both just constantly showing each other love all day long. All day long, your partner showing you that they love you in these acts, in what they say, in what they do, in how they speak to you. And all day you feel this overwhelming sense of love forever. Doesn't that sound great? And all you have to do to get it is be honest with somebody who's willing to receive it. Now, I get it. I totally get it. There's people out there that you're honest with and they shit on it. 100% ruin it. And that's not just relationships, that's people, that's, that's friends, that's family, that's people who you thought you seen them one way and they turned out to be another. I get it. And it's going to suck and it's going to hurt. But when you find that person who is receptive of you and hears you and feels you and talks to you in the same trust, the same manner, the same vulnerability, what was that, 1,283 times I've said that? It creates an unbreakable bond. It's unbreakable. And when people continue to build these relationships in this way, it just keeps stacking. It just keeps stacking. It's the biggest building in the world, you know, because it keeps going. It never stops. My husband and I are still building our trust in each other. We're still going, and it just gets stronger and stronger to where nothing can weaken it. That foundation, unrockable. Okay. So I did get a couple of questions. I picked out three that are going to go with today's episode, and I'm going to read them off. Mornings are already rough, so why not make it easier with Javy? J-A-V-Y. Javy coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javy coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javy coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A 43934 today. Javy coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javy today. Okay, our first question, they want to know how they can start embracing vulnerability in their relationship as they've struggled in the past. And I really love that. So I think that's a big, huge thing for growth is understanding that you have struggled with certain things in past relationships and you don't want to move forward with those same struggles. But embracing vulnerability really does begin with the self-awareness and self-care and willingness to share your true self. So start by, which you seem already on a good path to this question because you're acknowledging that you want to work on this. Continue to work on yourself. Continue to be your true self. Continue to do self-care to where you get to know yourself better than anybody around you. And then you can start by opening up to your partner about your feelings, about your fears and desires, and do that with a trusted individual. Somebody who does make you feel good and safe. And when you get to know yourself, those things you want to express to them are so easy to express because they're things you've thought about a lot. They're things that you've maybe written down in your journal of I won't put up with anything less than this. So then that gradually increases the depth of your sharing as your trust deepens. And remember that vulnerability is a receiving process as well. So as you open up, make sure you're encouraging them to do the same so you can receive that same insight and that same input and you guys can build that team together. Some of you may move faster than others. Some may be a little more shy and laid back, and that's okay. Continue moving forward. Of course, you never want that person to halt their conversation with you to where you feel like, oh, it's been a couple months and they've not really opened up to me. Then we have a topic for another day, because somebody that maybe isn't being all the way receptive and communicating with you in the same way, then we can look at that as maybe they have to do some more self-work that you can't really be a part of, or if you want to help them through that. I'm not sure, but that would be another question. So yes, continue to work on yourself and just be willing to share who you've gotten to know in yourself, your fears and desires and feelings. Share that with them and embrace that excitement of this is where you are now. I think that's really exciting, and that your growth journey is moving on as desired. So, okay, question number two. What are some practical self-care activities that contribute to better mental health within my relationship now? Okay, so incorporating self-care into your routine, I think it does impact both your individual well-being and your relationship. So I think simple practices like, of course, your daily mindfulness and exercise, set aside time for hobbies on your own and also with a partner. I think that's really exciting. Obviously, make sure you prioritize time for yourself, but adding in your partner and additionally communicating your self-care needs with them, I think that's a really big deal in finding the understanding and support in a relationship for for why you care for yourself the way you do. I think that's really cool. So I feel like those are really good practical self-care activities, is doing what you love to do and maybe adding your partner in them so they can see how you care for yourself, and it gives them a better understanding of how to care for you. How do I establish and communicate boundaries effectively in my relationship? So as we talked about, establishing boundaries involves that clear communication and self-reflection. So telling them about yourself and how you've worked on yourself, how you've gotten to know yourself, how maybe you didn't always feel so great or that you really had to work on your boundaries. Identify your boundaries and tell them calmly, because telling somebody your boundaries isn't a retaliation. It's just a conversation. Use a lot of I statements. Like I always tell you, I feel, to express yourself and your needs without blaming people, because it is ultimately how I feel. And no matter what they're saying to me, it's how I am putting that together and how I articulate the feelings within myself. So encourage open dialogue and allow your partner to share their boundaries with you as well. I think people should regularly revisit and adjust their boundaries as your relationship evolves and ensure that a healthy connection and respectful connection is continuing. I think people think boundaries are just a one-all be-all, and they're not. They're not at all. They continue to evolve with you, and they continue to change. Like, your original ones will always be there because that's what got you started, but you're always welcome to add more. You're always welcome to go, you know, when we used to fight before, I didn't mind that you yelled sometimes, or I didn't mind that you slammed the door randomly, like something like that. And then now you could say, I'm really bothered when you yell at me, and it makes me feel a certain way, and I would really appreciate it if next time we have a miscommunication or a conflict, can you keep your voice lower, because it really contributes to something I don't like in myself and I don't like in a partner. So it really bothers me when you slammed the door last time. That's not a partner conflict of how I want to resolve things. I don't like when you do that. Can we fix that for next time? And so the next time you have a conflict, you can remind them, hey, like, and of course, I know in a conflict, you're not going to be like, hey, you're like, hey, you said you weren't going to yell at me. Can you remember that and speak respectfully in this conflict? Because I'm really struggling to listen and to solve this problem when I feel like you are attacking me and I'm not liking the tone of this conversation. Maybe we can revisit it, because if it's going to stay this way, I have to shut down. I have to shut it down. I'm not going to allow that tone towards me anymore. And that is revisiting those boundaries. And that is establishing that you feel a certain way. And guess what? Your partner, a loving partner, a partner who you're vulnerable with, a partner who's vulnerable with you, they will respect that. You don't have to ask them twice. If you tell your partner, I will not argue or yell, not argue, you're going to argue, I will not yell or result to any kind of punching walls or slamming doors or name calling. Or I know people who, when they argue, they name call. And I'm like, well, I mean, I've been there before. I've definitely been in unhealthy relationships, but I was younger. But like the name calling, unnecessary. Like I could never imagine my partner name calling me. I couldn't imagine my partner yelling. He would terrify me if he yelled. So I hope he, you know, I would hope he knows that. Like, men are scary. They can be scary and they can be intimidating. So if you have a partner who tries to intimidate you in a conflict, that is no. That's a clear boundary. And when you establish and communicate boundaries effectively in your relationship, like you said, your partner will put them to work. Your receptive, vulnerable partner will put that to work. Okay? Hey there, my amazing listeners of Loving Yourself Completely. It's me, Sarah, your podcast host, and I've got an exclusive treat for you. When you shop Sarah Bauer Boutique, use code LOVING15, LOVING15, to snag an amazing 15% off your purchase just for listening and supporting this podcast journey. Happy shopping. So as we end today's episode, I really hope that you can take away so much for your journey to nurturing your mental health and relationships, and be vulnerable. I want you to take all of these things. I want you to apply it to your life. I want you to continue to create a deep, lasting, long love for yourself and your partner. And I really hope that these things can help that. I really want you to know that you deserve a partner you can be your true naked self with, and that your partner deserves that too. It can't be a one-way street. It has to be both. You have to be both. You have to be on the same page. You have to know that what your partner will and won't put up with, and vice versa. It has to work that way. A successful relationship really all boils down to respect and knowing your partner, wanting to win together, wanting to rise to the top together in your careers, in your family life, in your marriage, in your everything. If your partner is not by your side, then they're in front or behind you. They have to want to be next to you. Continue loving yourself completely. Write into lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com or message us on Instagram. And just know that you're worth being allowed to be open. It's not too sensitive. It's not, you know, oh, they're, you know, feeling a certain way. People like to put a taboo on feelings and being open and being somebody who has a lot of empathy in them and understanding. And those are the strongest people to know themselves the best. So get to know yourself. Get to know yourself well enough to be receptive of getting to know your partner. It's so important. Have a loving marriage. Create an easy life for yourself. Create a comfortable life for yourself. Be so comfortable that you know your partner has your back with your eyes closed. And continue loving yourself completely. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.